Amen. Thank you, Jenny. May that be our request, that we desire to please the heart of our wonderful Father who's in heaven. If I could ask, please turn your Bibles to the second chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Knowing what's next. Last week we began a series of messages through the book of Acts entitled, What's Next? We learned that while we are waiting for God to supply the answer to what's next, that we practice active waiting, that we do the Christian basics, and that we realize that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is working in us and through us. In time, God will answer your question, what's next? Sometimes it's just a brief pause. Other times it's a lengthy period of time. God will answer our question, Lord, what's next for me in life? So this morning we are going to learn from Acts chapter 2 how to recognize God's answer to what's next. You see, it's absolutely paramount that we listen to God and know that we are hearing from God. Because if we choose otherwise, we're relying on emotions. We could be relying on guilt. We could be relying on the opinion of someone else, or perhaps even our own preferences. Listen, none of these things can parallel or satisfy the answer of God. We desire to know what God has for us next in life. And I trust you do, because God takes delight in hearing and answering our prayers. Oh God, what's next? Now, we will examine three criteria this morning that the 120 utilized or experienced in their embracing of what's next. So we're going to follow the second chapter of Acts and see how this small band of Christ followers, who were absolutely immobilized by their uncertainty, and see how they responded to the desire to know, oh God, what's next. First of all, what's next will come from the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, they were all filled with what? With the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I don't want us to miss the big picture of what's happening here. Let me remind you yet once again. The 120 believers, there were other believers, but the 120 that were gathered in Jerusalem, that were part of this close-knit community of faith, suddenly after Jesus died and buried and went back to heaven, that they had gathered in Jerusalem in what we know as the upper room. And they were praying, waiting for God to answer their prayer, Lord, what's next? And God's first reply, God's first method of responding to their prayer, what's next, was giving them the Holy Spirit. You see, it's absolutely required. It's necessary that the Holy Spirit be with us when we face what's next. The Holy Spirit will be with you when you face what's next questions. You see, God does not intend for you to secure a new job without Him. He wants to be a part of that. God does not intend for you to begin a new relationship unless God is right in the midst. God does not expect you to begin a new direction in life without Him. You see, it is the will of God to move you down life's way with His presence. Now, the Holy Spirit is necessary for three fundamental reasons. And by the way, there are more than three. I'm just going to give you three for simplicity. The very first is the Holy Spirit helps us. Let's look at John chapter 15, 26. In fact, if you're able to see the wall, let's read it together. I think it would do us well. Let's read John 15, 26 together. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. Who's to come? The Helper. You see, we need help. Is anyone in the church house today saying, listen, I don't need any help, I'm good. I don't need God. I don't need anything. You know what? I am completely self-sufficient in life. Listen, we need God and we need His help. And the reason we can't embark upon what's next is because we need the help of the Holy Spirit in our life. Not only does He help, He intercedes for us. Romans 8:26. Let's read it together, shall we? In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You see, oftentimes we're in the throes of a decision and we have to make some sort of choice as to what direction to go. And maybe there are factors about that situation we don't even know. I mean, we'd say, well, I'd pray about it. I don't know really what's behind the scenes. I don't know what's ahead. So, God, there's so much I don't know how to pray for. I don't know what to pray for. Well, you know what we can do? We rely on the Holy Spirit. We need His presence with us because He helps us. Not only does He help us because we're insufficient and weak, but because we don't even know what to pray for in total. Wasn't the Holy Spirit necessary? Third, He gifts us. He gifts us. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 together. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, this passage in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. He gives everyone the manifestation of the Spirit, that gifts from the Spirit, so that we can utilize that in our life, in our ministry, in our service to Him, and how we dispatch our choices. You see, sometimes we face situations that are beyond our ability. Do you ever feel that way? You're facing a situation, you're saying, listen, this is a mountain. And I'm looking here at a mountain. I'm at its bottom, and it is intimidating. It's overwhelming. I don't know how I'm going to face this, address this, solve this. I'm facing an issue, a problem, a circumstance. It's beyond my ability. I don't know what to do, or I've got a choice to make. I'm not exactly sure what direction to choose. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is with you. He desires to be with you. It is His will and intent to be with you. You're not supposed to make these decisions alone. You see, He is our helper. He is the one who intercedes for us. He is the one who gives us gifts that are beyond ourselves so that we can fulfill the will and purpose of God in our lives. When you are at the most important crossroad in your life and you need to make a what's next decision, you need to ask yourself, is the Holy Spirit in this? It's the Holy Spirit amidst this decision and in my situation, because I dare not make a choice without Him. So first of all, the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit will empower you. I love the way this is described in the second chapter of Acts. The Holy Spirit was so powerful that the disciples described Him like a mighty rushing wind. Say that together. Mighty rushing wind. I mean, that's powerful. And it was almost like a tornado came in the house. Now, we know the effects of a tornado outside the house. In communities all across Georgia, we've seen evidence. Some of you have lived those. Here was a mighty rushing wind inside the house, this upper room where the disciples were dwelling in prayer, saying, God, what's next? He gives them the Holy Spirit so that the presence of the Spirit will go with them. And there was this incredible power of God Himself in their lives. In fact, the power of God was so overwhelming that when the believers came out of the upper room and began to mix with the citizenry of Jerusalem, they began to say, they're drunk. Look, if you will, at chapter 2, verse 13. Acts 2, verse 13. But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. You are drunk. You've been drinking. You are inebriated. Look, I can see there's a difference in how you are acting. You know, drunkenness occurs when someone is controlled by and consumed with a substance. We call it alcohol. You see, the scripture says we are to be filled with the Spirit, consumed with the Spirit. We are to be completely immersed in the Spirit. It is the will of God that when we thrust ahead, that we don't say, oh, I'll just take a little God with me. I'll take a little church with me. I'll think about God, or I'll pull God along a little bit and see what He has to say, perhaps when I really need Him at least. No, listen, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, desires to be in your life, full and overflowing. So much so that people say, you know, there's something different about you. Now, in our culture today, we wouldn't so much to say you're drunk. We'd say, you know, you're crazy. You're just flat out crazy. To be controlled by and filled with the Holy Spirit. So that God and His power is in our lives. Never face a what's next question without relying upon the Holy Spirit. He will be present with you and will give you power. And once He does, you can accomplish the task. So, before we move on, if you're facing a what's next decision and say, well, you know what, I've got some options. I'm thinking and praying through some matters. I'm not exactly sure what course to choose. Well, ask yourself, is God with you? Because He will be with you. Because there are some decisions you know good and well He's not going to be with you. I'll get to that in just a little bit more. And then you say, will the Holy Spirit's power enable me to be successful in this pursuit, in this endeavor? You see, God does not intend for you to win victory in your own life. It is His intent to bring victory through you. So you need to ask yourself, is the power of the Holy Spirit, is His strength with me so that I can fulfill His intent and His desire and His aim? So, second, what's next will be based on His Word. First of all, what's next is based upon the Holy Spirit and His presence. Second, what's next is based on His Word. So after we apply the test of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, you know what? I believe that God's with me here. And if I make this choice, I believe God's going to be with me. And I really believe His power will enable me to be successful here. I can't do it. But I think He can through me. So I'm feeling really good about this decision. Then you must do what is also required, and that is to apply the test of Holy Scripture. Because when God answers your what's next question, your decision will be founded on Holy Scripture. Take a peek, if you will, at verses 17 through 21. I'm not going to read them. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, I could. It's simply a quotation out of the second chapter of Joel, isn't it? You see, Peter believed that what was happening in his life and the lives of the small band of believers was based on Holy Scripture. He didn't say, let it just happen. You know, there are a lot of spiritual experiences people have today. You know what? A lot of people have experiences, spiritual experiences. Some of them are really bizarre and strange and weird. People do a lot of weird things in the name of God. They act out. They do all sort of criminal activities, godless deeds in the name of God. You see, God always speaks His Word and leads through the Spirit as founded on Holy Scripture. Joel said, listen, I want you to know that what I am about to say and what we're doing here is founded on Holy Scripture. So he reads quite a lengthy passage in the second chapter of Joel. You see, God will never violate his sacred word, the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18 that every jot and tittle will be fulfilled in the law and the will of God. You know what the word jot is? Actually, J-O-T, as we say it in English. In Hebrew, it's yot. The J is yot. It's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, if you take an apostrophe in Hebrew, that's the Hebrew yot. And the tittle is the small little stroke of the pen. The Hebrew language is a very beautiful written script, and it contains a lot of little lines. And so the tittle was a little line that was used to make a letter. So Jesus was saying the smallest Hebrew letter and the smallest little line in the letter will not fade away, but my word will stand true. Here's one thing you can absolutely count on, and that is the authority of the word of God in your life. When you're making a decision, never, ever, 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 ever make one without considering the authority of Holy Scripture in that decision. Because one might think, well, you know what? I think the Holy Spirit is leading me. And maybe he is. The scripture says, try the spirits. How do you try the spirits? Holy Scripture. You see, if you are lonely in your marriage, an affair is never the will of God. You know that, don't you? You see, 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee immorality. And I've heard it said this was the will of God in my life. It's not the will of God in your life. God can redeem and restore and renew. Of course God can do that. But it is never the will of God to commit acts of sin. If your daily needs are not being met today, theft is not your next step. You know that, don't you? You see, Ephesians 4:28 says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. You see, the answer is God's going to give you a job. God's going to make a way. And just because something is there to be seized, and so I could easily just take it, and I think God may have it for me, I'll just take it. No, it is not the will of God. That's not your next step, even if you're hungry. If you're beginning a new friendship and saying, you know what, it's the beginning of a new year, it's the beginning of a new period of time in my life, and I believe it's time for a new relationship in my life. It is not the will of God for you to attach yourself to ungodly people. It just isn't. You say, well, how do you know that? I think God led me to this person, and they seem to like me. By the way, we have a whole lot in common. Oh, so that's going to be your basis of important strategic decisions in life, is how you connect with people when we are inherently sinful. Here's what the Bible says about the matter in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? You see, it's a slam dunk. We can go to Holy Scripture, use the test of Scripture, and say, okay, God, this is not the one, or this may be the one. So here you are, let's suppose you're saying, I think I'm going to enter another relationship. Maybe it's a friendship, maybe it's a romantic relationship, it doesn't matter. And say, you know what, God might have led me to this person. You know, we just showed up at work together and there we are, or we happen to be bowling and boy, they're bowling right beside me in the next lane and asked for my help in picking out a bowling ball. Maybe that was how God just did it. I don't know, man, maybe God's in this thing. Well, then you better use Scripture. You use Scripture to see. Because Scripture doesn't lie. The written word of God is the same for you and for me. It doesn't matter. And these are the principles and the precepts of the Almighty God. He says, listen, what relationship, what does fellowship is there to be with light and darkness? Maybe you're here today and you're considering a financial investment. Sin stock is never your answer. Never your answer. You'll say, yeah, but man, they can really yield some dividends, preacher. I'm just telling you. Well, yeah, they very well may, but here's what Holy Scripture says in Proverbs 21:17. You see, it says, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. And when we give ourselves into the pursuit of pleasure and say, but I can use pleasure to get money because everyone else wants pleasure. So I'll invest in some of this sin stock, or I'll invest in some of the adult entertainment. I'll kind of go on the internet. Now I'll kind of hook up with and do some things here with some of those that consider immorality as an instrument of financial gain. You see, this isn't the will of God. It never is the will of God. You'll eventually become poor in some manner. You see, every God-given answer will be consistent with Scripture. By the way, that's great news for you. Because here we are, we're in the midst of life decisions. And sometimes we just have to say, God, I don't know. And we wait. And we do the Christian basics. And we realize that God is working in us and through us, that we need to be still and pray. And ask God, God, what's next? And then in time, God begins to answer that what's next question. The Holy Spirit will be right with you, guiding you, directing you, giving you power, helping you, interceding for you, giving you gifts so that you can be successful. But then you're saying, well, how do I really know? You use Scripture as a filter, as a test, because God will always be consistent in His Word. Now, your decision will enable you to speak truth in the people. Look, if you will, at verses 22 through 36. I'm not going to read all of the verses. I'm going to read a couple to you, but I'm going to give you just a moment. I hope that your Bibles are on your laps there, but if so, please just take a peek quickly at verses 22 through 36. And you will see what Peter had to say after he read Scripture, because he knew that Scripture was the basis for what they were doing. Let's take a peek at verse 22. It says, the men of Israel listened to these words. Here's what Peter said. Hello, everyone. Listen. Listen up. Now, look at verses 23 and 24. This man, chapter 2, verses 23, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Now, he goes on, but here's the essence of what Peter said. But I want you to see the big picture here. Sometimes we get lost in the words that are so necessary, by the way, and we're going to get to them. But we fail to see what's happening. You see, Peter just said, listen, this is based on Scripture. I'm just not acting on my own here. The Holy Spirit led us, empowers, and has empowered us, but what I'm about to say is all scriptural. This is the choice. And then he says, I'm going to speak truth into you. Now, sometimes truth hurts just a little bit. Now, all the folks at Jerusalem would rather have a pat on the back. By the way, so would I. And most of you too. You see, most of us would rather have someone at church today say, attaboy, you're awesome. You're just so perfect. You're just like God in His image itself. When I see you, I see an angel. I mean, that's what we like to hear. Peter spoke the truth. You see, it is the will of God for us to base our life choices on the truth. And the truth's not always easy. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense. Another time, just difficult. But here was the essence of what Peter said. He said, first of all, and I'm just saying first of all, he didn't number them because I like to number things. He says, basically, Jesus was the Messiah. The King of God sent to earth. Jesus was the Messiah. Second of all, you killed him. All y'all in Jerusalem. That's the Hebrew. All y'all killed him. You put him to death. Now, why would Peter say that? Here was the guys. A few moments ago, he was hiding in the upper room because he was fearful that they might do to him what they had done to Jesus. Now he's standing publicly saying, y'all killed Jesus by crucifying him. Wow, you're talking about a ship. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Peter made that decision, he just didn't make that decision. I mean, his knees would have been knocked. His voice would have been queer. He'd have remained in hiding. But now he is standing in front of the very people that crucified Jesus and said, y'all crucified the Messiah. God sent one. But I want you to know that more than evil hands was involved in his death. It was the will of God, the predetermined will of God, for Jesus to come to earth and to die on the cross. It was the will of God. You acted in evil, but God willed it to be. It was necessary. You see, Peter goes on to say that Jesus is not only Messiah, but he's Lord. Look, if you will, at chapter 2, verse 36. Here's how he closed. Here's how he closed, is speaking the truth. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, summarizing, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, meaning Messiah. This Jesus, whom you crucified, he made him. He is the Lord. He is our Messiah. He is the King. Let it be known, this is who you crucified. Now, you're talking about speaking the truth. Peter simply spoke the truth. We can no longer live in the will of God speaking lies. We cannot go through life saying, well, you know what? I want to do this. And because I want to do this, I'm going to put God aside. And I just heard what you said, preacher, about you got to go to work. But I think instead of going to work, I'm just going to buy a few lotto tickets. I'll just gamble a little bit. You know, I've heard believers pray over lotto tickets. That's right. Can you imagine that? Listen, I don't mean to offend anyone here, but I can't help you if I can't be honest. That's just about like saying, God, I'm about to shoot somebody, and I just pray I can just shoot straight. Really? That isn't the will of God. That's not the truth. God will always lead you to the truth. Fornication is never the answer, is it? It's not the answer. It's not the truth. Yeah, but we just love each other so much. How could it be wrong if we love each other so much? Can't you believe that lie, ladies? You gonna believe that lie? That lie gonna get you into bed, right? Oh, I just love you so much. Listen, if you love her so much, then keep her pure. If you love her like you say you love her, you can do it. With the power of God, you can. Now, if you rely on yourself, I'm saying it's not too likely. But you can do it in the power of God. It's time that we quit living in our own power and under our own authority, saying, I can do it. I can do whatever I will and want to do. That's our problem. That's precisely why we are sinking. Speak the truth. You see, the truth is God requires us to live holy lives, and he'll be right with us when we do. The truth is Christ has called us to be Christ followers, not to have our name listed in the computer in the church office. That's not going to do you a lot of good. It'll give you mail, but it's not going to do you a lot of good if Christ is not in you. You see, the truth of the matter is God's will is to provide for you. He has promised that he will provide for you. He has promised to provide for your needs. But that gives us no right to be lazy and not to look for a job and work if we can. That's the truth. Now, half lies and half truths are the same. Right? A half lie and a half truth, same thing. It's either you're backing up or you're going in rear, in the rear. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. We must speak the truth. If we desire the blessing of God in our lives, and we want Him to direct us and lead us and to shine upon us, to smile and take delight in us, we must obey His word and speak the truth. Thirdly, verses 37 through 47, what's next will lead you to reach people. Now, I'm absolutely certain that many of you have heard, at least in similar words, though maybe not the exact words that I've used today, as based on Acts 2, that we must rely on the Holy Spirit and we must rely on Scripture in our decision making and our choices of knowing what direction to choose when we're faced with a crossroad. We always use the power and the leadership, the help, the guidance and intercession of the Holy Spirit, and then we base it on Scripture. Most of you have heard that, many of you had, but I'm afraid that we've missed the last part, and it's necessary, because God always, and I want to emphasize always, is interested in reaching people. God is not solely interested in us just making the right choice for ourselves. If we're making choices only in consideration of us, that seems to be a rather selfish way to live. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if the only person I'm thinking about and my decision making of what's next is me. I'm not thinking about my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my church, my friends, etc. If I'm not thinking about lost people, I'm then only thinking about me, what I want. That seems to be inherently selfish. Certainly God's not into selfishness. This chapter doesn't end here. You see, we must lead people to answer a fundamental question in life, and that is, what shall we do? Look at chapter 2, verse 37. After Peter spoke the truth, After Peter spoke the truth, he could have said, okay, it's lunchtime, fellas, let's go home. And let's find ourselves some good schnitzel somewhere. And we'll make it just fine. But the best was yet now at hand. Look, if you will, at verse 37. Now when they heard this, Peter speaking the truth, that what he was saying was based on Scripture, and he was doing so in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Now, I want you to know something, my brothers and sisters and my friends. People are asking that very same question today. What shall we do? We live in a culture without a compass. Your neighbor most likely has no compass in life. The people that you associate with at work and spend hour upon hour with on your job site has no anchor in life. People that you see when you shop and go about your daily affairs, you see, they're like a ship that's tossed with the waves. They have no rudder that says, here's the direction to go. Now, once we speak the truth, then they will want to know, what shall I do? And you know the answer. Peter spoke verses 38 and 39. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They had just received the Holy Spirit, and says, you will too. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. First of all, he says you must repent of sin. Now, we teach this almost every week. Repenting of sin means you turn away from sin and you come to God. What repentance is not, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. You see, repentance is, God, I'm sorry, I'm turning away from sin and I'm coming to you. It's required that we repent of sin, and second, that we believe in Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus because they believed in Jesus. You see, this baptism, and we witnessed that this morning with Derek, baptism is that public statement, I believe that Jesus died and was buried and he rose again, and that my sins are dead and buried, and I am living without sin because I'm forgiven. The work of Christ performed that. When he died on the cross, he was then sufficiently able to remove my sins. And I believe that. Death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, you have to repent of sin and you have to believe in Jesus, and then you are reborn by the Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, that was the same thing Jesus taught Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that great scholar of a Pharisee. You must be born again. When those sins are removed from your life because you've been forgiven and you've repented, those empty holes now are replaced with the Holy Spirit. And he lives in you and dwells in you. You see, Jesus is always the answer, isn't he? I mean, to the questions of life. Now, if someone says, you know, how do you get to Main Street? I mean, you don't have to say what Jesus says. It wouldn't hurt, but they might think you're mad or drunk with wine. In life, I mean, in critical moments of life, I mean, when it comes to life issues, Jesus is always the answer. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Come to God. Believe that Jesus came. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. And then receive the Spirit. Living what's next. Without reaching out to people is nothing yet again than a lie. God is always interested in reaching people. The neighbor to your right and to your left of your home or your apartment, God's interested in. You say, I don't know who it is. God's interested in them. And they so happen to put you by them or them by you. The person that works in the cubicle beside you, God's interested in them. The person that comes up at the water cooler and has a bad joke that's raunchy, God loves that person. The person who invites you to places you know you will not go, you should not and will refuse to go, God loves that person. It is the will of God. Not that we just say, oh, I've got all the blessings of God. I'm going to heaven. I've got his blessings, his peace. His Spirit's leading me, empowering me. I'm just sitting here, man. This is awesome. God always will have you to reach people. You have a story to tell, don't you? He's changed your life. He's worked in your life. He's forgiven you of sin. He's given you strength and wisdom and guidance. You've got a story to tell. You must be telling your story. Your what's next decision will always be an opportunity to reach out to people. See, that's our problem. Sometimes God does a great work in our lives, and we just say, oh, I'm just going to sit here. Man, this is awesome. I'm just going to go home and just savor this. Nothing wrong with savoring it, but here's the point. We better complete it, and we complete it by sharing it and reaching out to people. If we're not reaching out to people, I'm not saying we made the wrong choice, but I'm saying we've made a choice and then stopped the progression of the will and intent of God in our lives. It's always the will of God for us to reach out to people. Now, the last verses for the day, chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Goodness awaits believers who will reach out to people. I wish time would allow us to get really in detail, but this really captures what's going on here. The last two verses of chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Day by day, in other words, this is how they started to live, all right? Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And what did God do about all that? And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, tell me what comes to mind when you hear these words. Man, great things are taking place. People are enjoying being together. And the needs of people are being met. People are visiting one another, even in their homes. Some are going out to lunch and sharing meals together. People are praising the Lord and enjoying incredible connection with each other. And there's an amazing favor on these people. I mean, when you look at them, you want to be just like them. Now you tell me, what does that sound like? Sounds like somebody you want to be. Sounds like something you want to be a part of. Sounds incredibly inviting. Sounds rather amazing, maybe even miraculous, that God could take our lies and fear and hiding and make a life like that out of us. He can do it. He will do it. It's His intent to do it if we follow Him. Now I want to close by putting this together. 120 believers had just witnessed Jesus die on the cross by Romans, cruelly, inhumanely, put in a tomb, and then resurrect. After Jesus resurrected, in 40 days, He went back to heaven. It's called the Ascension. And then they didn't know what to do. In fact, their Lord had left them. Jesus says, now go to Jerusalem and wait. So they waited, and they prayed the prayer. Remember, if you were here last week, they prayed the prayer. What was the prayer? What's next? God, what's next? You told us to gather in Jerusalem, and here we are. Lord, what's next? What are you going to do? And then in Acts chapter 2, He answers the prayer. He gives His Holy Spirit to them. Because they can't do it alone, and neither can you. You can't do a what's next in your life without the presence of God. Not only did He give His presence, He gave the power of the Holy Spirit. And then once that happened, it was confirmed, it was tested that this is really right from Scripture. And then Peter began to speak the truth in the life of others. And then other folks heard the truth of God, and says, what shall we do? And Peter and the others reached out to them, told them about Christ. And they were saved and baptized. And man, did they ever start to live the life. It was an amazing life. Now, I don't want to leave you with the notion that it was simple. We'll get to that in the next chapters. It wasn't easy yet. It was still tough. But man, they were living the life. You see, it's the will of God for you too and for me. Not to live in defeat and discouragement. To live in frustration and anxiety and despair all the time, kicking the dog, screaming at the kids, threatening to quit our jobs every other week. Is that how God designed us to be? God has a what's next for you. Now let me ask you, will you follow God's what's next? That's all I'm asking. Will you follow what's next for you? Heavenly Father, I ask in Your holy name, Lord Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, that You would speak today and that You have spoken. And Lord, that those who are here that would say, what shall I do, will respond to Your word, not mine, but Your word. May victory come today. May lives change today. May this be a crucial time in all of our lives for decision making ahead. Thank you. We need you. And we're not going to do this without you. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show His mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is, one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.